Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning, this is Free Fire Radio, KCNR 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, your talk radio. And it is Thursday morning, so this is Trish Clark. Carl and Linda are on assignment. And so I'm here this morning. I'm going to host the show for a couple hours and talk about some things I hope interest you. Glad you could join us this morning. It's currently 65 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 95, hazy, a low of 68, and on Friday, a high of 100. A low of 70, mostly clear on Friday night. On Saturday, they're saying hot, 104, low 89, and mostly clear, but a hot because it's so dry out that they're emphasizing that it's going to be hot. We've been having 110, 120, we don't know hot, but this is hot, 102 on Saturday, or on Sunday, and on Sunday night, a 68. On Monday, still hot, 98. Widespread haze, fire weather watch, part patchy smoke. It's just not nice out there, and you need to be watching that. Those weather conditions are going to kind of go through next week. High 90s, no relief in sight. We want to be really careful about this smoke, and if you don't have to be outside, ignore your yard and try to stay inside as much as you can. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So this morning I'm joined in the studio by one of my favorite people, from the Anderson Fire Protection District Chief, Steve Lowe.
Good morning, Trish. Thank you for having me.
Good. Well, you know, I think this is a timely issue because certainly right now fire is on everybody's mind. And there's some things happening locally that we probably need to know about and just kind of, so we're going to kind of update you a little bit on the fire conditions in Shasta County. What happens when we're not actually actively burning right here in Shasta County with a big complex fire, a little bit on the edges here and there? But it has a tremendous impact on the fire services for Shasta County and its residents.
Yeah, that is true. Even though we are a smaller agency, we do step up with California Master Mutual Aid Agreements, and we do deploy resources during fire season when there's a greater need. So currently, we do have one engine that's deployed, and they're actually covering Cal Fire stations within Shasta County. So they're actually covering out in Igo right now, and they were one of the first engines that seen of the mule incident yesterday. So and we deploy resources when they call for strike team assignments to go to these massive fires, we do that. But just remember, locally we try to look at the bigger picture that we would send people to help, but we also have to make sure we have resources back home to protect our home front. So we do have resources deployed, but we still have full staffing at the station, and we have a plan moving forward to make sure that we continue with our full staffing. So
and this is kind of significant because this happens with all of the departments within Shasta County. We're all looking out to take care of our own thing. But we do have to help all the other agencies as well. When they put together these strike teams on one of these complex fires, having been involved in that for many years myself, you get engines from all over the place that are all part of one strike team or one group that comes in to fight these massive fires. You might have an engine from Los Angeles and from Santa Barbara and from Sutter in Jackson County.
That's true. Most of the agencies in California, as long as they're keeping up with their training mandates, then they are able to participate in the Master Mutual Aid system. So we do get resources. There was actually a Riverside strike team in Anderson yesterday passing through. I've seen some LA County and LA City engines up here. So it takes everybody to do this. Not one agency can do it on their own. Some agencies are big enough. They're able to send five engines out, and then some are able to send one. But everybody does their part to help, and California is in the forefront of that, and they've been the leader in the Master Mutual Aid program nationwide. So we're proud to be a part of that as well.
So what's going on at the Shasta District Fairgrounds? I noticed they're staging engines and what have you. Do they have a full things set up out there now? Or
they do. Cal Fire Incident Management Team 5 has assumed unified command on the Monument Fire with their Forest Service partners, and so that is their base camp for that. And I think they're they are using that as their base camp. So all their logistical support and everything for the Cal Fire and state resources are being run out of the Anderson base camp.
Yeah, I noticed a big presence in the hotels and motels around the area with a lot of fire truck, a lot of activity. And then, of course, at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. And that happens a lot. I think and this conversation is by way of maybe kind of educating the people of how what an impact this has on local resources. You bring in all of those engines into a community the size of Anderson. It has an impact. You got a lot of extra people there. It is in a positive impact because it's really good for the restaurants. And
yeah, absolutely. They, I mean, they do have feeding available at the fairgrounds, but you know, also those that wish to go out and get their own, they could go to the local restaurants, and obviously, there's the hotels see an increase in all that. So it's good for the economy. You know, even though everything that's going on, I guess there's a little bit of positive in what's going on.
Yeah. Well. You have to look at that. It's good for the economy, but it's also it's good to know that we're covered here. The Anderson Fire Protection District for this covers part of the South County, covers the city of Anderson, Verde Vale area, extends out. It's different. In the city of Redding, you have the city of Redding, you have your police department, you have your fire department, you have the electric utilities. They're all part of city government. In the city of Anderson, the Anderson Fire Protection District is a separate entity. It's a special district, and it has its own governing board, 5 elected members, and it is not part of the structure of the city of Anderson.
Yeah, that's right, Trish. So it's a little bit of a different setup, not too uncommon. There's several fire protection districts throughout California and around the United States. It's just a different setup, and a little history behind the Anderson Fire Protection District is in 1889, there was a big fire in what we call downtown Anderson, which is along the railroad tracks on East Center Street. That was the downtown core. October 9th, 1889, they had a large fire downtown, and it consumed the hotel and most of the businesses, and several of the residents got together and formed a bucket brigade, and that became basically the first somewhat of an organized fire department for Anderson. And then officially in 1901, we became a registered fire protection district with the state of California, and that's how we kind of got incorporated. And most people don't know that the city of Anderson actually didn't officially become an incorporated city till 1956 or 1957, I believe. So,
yeah.
So we've actually been kind of registered and in a little bit longer than the city, and I think that's one reason why we kind of never merged and became one. I don't know all the details from back then, and it's hard to get – I've heard multiple different stories of why that never happened, but you have your benefits both in both sides of that. You know, one of the biggest benefits for the community is – being a fire protection district, our money is not ran through the city. So when they have budget talks, there's, you know, the police and fire in other cities are always fighting for the bulk of the money because that's where everybody wants their money to go, is public safety. So every dollar that we bring in from property tax goes directly to our operations and our department. So we're not having to split it up between public works and wastewater and the police department and all the other city entities that are within a city government. So that's one huge benefit for the community, is that every dollar that we raise from property tax or from special taxes or anything else directly goes to operations of the department, to the betterment of the department, and directly to that. So it's a little bit different, but you know, it has its benefits.
And to clarify for most of the people, you know, the city of Anderson passed the half-cent sales tax, what, 4 years ago?
Five years ago. 2013.
And it was for public safety parks. Public safety was the big deal, and that was the advisory measure that went with it, that the city council agreed that if they passed the half-cent sales tax with a minimum, that it would go for public safety. Confusion is, again, because people are not generally aware that the fire department is not part of the city, there was an assumption on a lot of the citizens of Anderson that part of that money did go to fire, because public safety includes police and fire. That's the image that everyone has. So having said that, everyone assumed that the Anderson Fire Protection District got a part of the half-cent sales tax. That's not true. We didn't get any of it. We don't get any of it. We do work cooperatively with the city of Anderson, and we have some mutual things that we do. And in areas that are now annexed, we have an agreement with the city of Anderson that we're going to share some of that as new development starts, and we're working towards that. But the people in the city of Anderson need to realize that we didn't share in that, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that as when we come back. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Cornerstone Bank. They're community-orientated, dedicated team of professionals committed to provide the highest level of personal service. Cornerstone Bank has many branches in Red Bluff, California Street in downtown, Cypress Avenue, East Cypress Branch, and a new one coming real soon down in the city of Anderson. You can visit them online at bankcornerstone.com. Invite you to experience the moving dreams forward with a local bank. We'll be right back to you after these messages.
Your love is lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Take a stroll down Memory Lane at Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage. Whether you're looking for tools from the past, vintage clothing, collectibles, jewelry, or something that just reminds you of the good old days, you can find it at Memory Lane. Those special shabby chic and vintage style items are seen in every nook and cranny. So what are you waiting for? Sure, you can check out their Facebook page, but it's a lot more fun to explore the past and find your treasure. 1665 Pine Street in Redding. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530 601-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
Heading in ahead now, standing on the shore.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question that has to do with fire or pretty much anything else you'd like to bring it up this morning, give us a call at 605-4567. And you can jump in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Go on live, listen to us that way, or just kind of get. Jared will let me know if there's any questions for us coming out of the chat room, because I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. If I try to watch that, I can't keep track of what I'm talking about here. So I am visiting with the Anderson Fire Protection District Chief, Steve Lowe, this morning. We'll talk a little bit about the history and the fire stuff that's going on in the city of Anderson and in Shasta County and, of course, all over the North State. Hard not to talk to about fire at this point. One of the things we were talking about was the funding source for the Anderson Fire Protection District. And one of the things that we keep talking about is if you live in a fire district or any place, you pay for fire. And in the city of Anderson, in the Anderson Fire Protection District, we have an old tax that's been on there for a long time. On your property tax bill, you get a bill each year included, and it's $20.
Yeah, it's called a parcel tax fee, and it applies to every parcel within our jurisdiction that has a land value or a structure on it that's greater than $5,000. So it there's roughly about 4,000 of those within our jurisdiction. So, and each one pays $20. So whether you're a quarter acre vacant lot that's land valued over $5,000 or you're a commercial like Walmart, it's $20. So, we're looking at trying to do a study to, how we can fix that and make it more, proportionate to what you have, and hopefully raise a little bit of more funding for the department. So, like I said, it's about 4,000 of those, and you know, by $20, it's only $82,000 a year that we bring in with that. So, on top of the property tax, so we need to address that as you know, as the cost of insurance and PERS retirement continue to climb, and we need to you know make ensure our staffing levels are up to par per NFPA standard. So, we need to address that here in the near future, which we've been working behind the scenes trying to get some of that stuff going. So,
And I want you, if you live in the Anderson Fire Protection District, you live in the city of Anderson, and you're getting service from the Anderson Fire Department, you recognize that you have a good level of service. We have a tremendous response time. You have a medical emergency, a traffic accident. Anything happens, you know, our response time is incredible because we're a small jurisdiction. So you're getting a response in a really good time. You're paying $20 a year for that ambulance or fire to show up at your door, for the people to respond to a car wreck, respond to a fire. Think about that. $20 a year. That's what you're paying. A little bit of property tax that goes to us. Those were all divided up. We get a little piece of that share that local government gets. But household, you're only paying $20. If you live in an apartment complex, that whole complex is only paying $20. So if you have 30 units, if it's senior housing, there's a good chance that the fire department shows up at that jurisdiction several times a year, several times a week, several times a day sometimes.
Absolutely.
And so I just kind of in the back of your mind, so when we start talking about maybe raising what you pay as a homeowner to say, I don't know, $75, $100 a year, that kind of wouldn't be out of reach. And our hope is that we're going to be able to put in a proportionate amount to where an apartment complex or a Walmart or a big thing pays based on their square footage and the use as opposed to just a straight across-the-board fee. So we're going to be talking about that from the Anderson Fire Protection District. And when I say we, just to clarify, I am the president of the elected board of the Anderson Fire Protection District. So I'm the chairman of the board. And so I just remind everybody that there's a value to the fire service that you get. Certainly medical aids is one of the big things that fire departments do.
Yeah, absolutely. And just so everybody understands, we have a really good response time. We have it's about an average of a 4-minute response time to all medicals and fires within our entire jurisdiction, which is very good. We're always looking to do better, but with only one staffed engine company every day, that makes it tough. We have to rely on our close neighbors for assistance. We do run several back-to-back calls, or where we're tied up on a medical and then another call comes in or a fire. So that does hurt that bottom line. So that's what we're really trying to get additional funding for, so we can staff up and have additional people on duty every day, so we can have two engines, so that way we are covering those second calls, or if we get dispatched to a residential structure fire while we're on a medical, we still have a quick response time and we're still being able to provide that initial care for the first call. So that does happen quite often. About 66 times a year, we are there's a significant call while we're tied up on another call and we have to rely on our mutual aid partners. So,
and I was going to say, and that's where then that mutual aid kicks in. If we in fact are tied up on an incident, within a very quick time, someone is dispatched from a local close entity, and we have those all set up. And that happens in all of your departments, and we're lucky that we have that level. Not only that we have the mutual aid agreements, but we have a level of cooperation between the fire agencies and the police agencies, where everybody pitches in and makes sure it gets covered.
Yeah, we're very fortunate in this area that some of these agreements have been around for quite some time, where it's basically automated. If we're tied up, there's another engine that's automatically dispatched without even having to be asked. So we're very fortunate that we have that working relationship here within our jurisdiction and our cooperators. Like I said, it can be better. We're looking at ways to always try to do better. And, you know, we're always doing more with less. We're always, you know, how it works with fire and police, we're always behind the curve trying to increase our staffing and stay up with the cost of everything. And that's the biggest thing, is the cost continually rises for everything. And we're trying to deal with that. So,
but I want to say a few words about the fact of the progress that the Anderson Fire Protection District has made over the last 7 or 8 years, because we had some issues. When I first got involved and was convinced to run for the board there, we definitely had some issues. We'd gone through some hard times, had some chiefs that we had some issues, may I say, and it could certainly have made the papers, and ended up actually at that point going from, at one point we were not an elected board, we were kind of appointed by we were part of the City of Anderson structure. It was at the Anderson City Council, and then a representative from the Verde Vale area, District 2, as part of that fire. And then they determined back in, 2010?
I believe so.
In 2010, that in fact it needed to become a standalone elected board and separate completely from anything with the City of Anderson. At that time that happened, and looking at the budget, we were in pretty bad shape in a lot of areas. We were going into our reserves on a regular basis. We had a lot of equipment that was not in very good shape, and very skeptical to say the least. We hired a new chief, after a few years, Rick Weigel, who came in like a storm, quite frankly. Chief Weigel had, a tremendous amount of great ideas, and he, came with a whole new idea of how to run the department, how to structure it, put it together, make it more professional. We really liked that, and he did, and he left a lot of good ideas. One of the things but he did come from a great big department and had an idea that you could just make up these rules and do them and then move forward. He'd never operated with quite as little amount of money as he had in the Anderson Fire Protection District. But the fortunate part of that is our current chief, Steve Lowe, was there, and learned a great deal from the experience that Rick Weigel brought to the department. And I give him all the kudos for that. And was able to kind of absorb a lot of the directions that were laid out. And since, 3 years now that you've been there?
Since 2017.
Yes. So going on 4 years. Steve has been our chief and been able to put many of those things into practice. We've just recently did a whole bunch of refurbishing on the department. It looks great. It's all painted up nice. We've got some new equipment. During that period of time, all of our equipment is up to date and current, we've come a long way. We've got some more because we really need to have two engines. Our jurisdiction is growing. Population is growing. In order to give the kind of coverage the citizens of that district deserve, we really need to be able to have the two staffed engines, so we're going to have to do some things to figure out a way to make some more bring some more money into it. I think the parcel tax is going to be a part of that solution. Need people to be aware of that. I know nobody ever likes to pay more taxes, but I think that we can make the legitimate argument that $20 a year for fire protection, good fire rating, lower fire insurance because you have a good fire department, it's probably worth a little bit more than $20 a year.
Yeah, one of the things that people don't understand is the insurance service office rating, ISO.
We'll go into that, Steve, when we come back after this break, because I really want to talk about how that does. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. My favorite place to shop. It's like a candy store. They have wonderful estate jewelry, and they take a lot of stuff on consignment. They have a great collection of turquoise and antique jewelry, and they make jewelry and can design for you. You can go in with your stones or their stones. They'll design beautiful jewelry, and the only watchmaker in town, so they do all the full service. Great place to shop, Four Winds Jewelries. We'll be right back to you right after these messages.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner. Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, is having a summer clearance sale. Save big on some of the highest quality safes around. High Noble Safe Company carries High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few, and features gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Delivery, moving, and repair service available. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spin at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question about fire or anything that we're talking about, give us a call at 605-4567. We invite you to join in the conversation because it is talk radio. We'd love to have a conversation with you if you have any questions or comments about what we're discussing. So we were going to talk a little bit. We were talking about remind me, Steve.
ISO ratings.
ISO ratings. Boy, I just went completely blank on that. And when you pay your fire insurance that you get from a company is based on your ISO rating.
Yes, the ISO rating really pertains to businesses when businesses go out for their insurance. It does affect residential, but not as much. It's mainly for the business community more because they're a higher risk, obviously, and a greater loss. But ISO rating is affected by multiple things. It has to do with municipal water departments. It brings in water departments, dispatch facilities, and your local fire jurisdiction. And it looks at our training, our staffing, complements of hose on the engine, types of engines that we have, water supply available for like water tenders. And it also looks at our training records. I think I mentioned training records, but also our hose testing records and our pump testing records. So all of those we're required to do annually. So we have a company that comes in every year, certifies all of our hose that it's been tested annually, and it's good to go for service. Also with our pumps of our engines. So fast forward with Anderson, in 2016, we had an unfortunate incident and we had some employees that were responding to a fire in the Platina area, and unfortunate circumstances, they rolled the water tender. So we haven't had a water tender since 2016, and that did hurt our ISO rating. We're in the process to try to get some more funding to purchase a new one, but it did hurt our ISO rating. We did drop down a little bit in our ISO rating because of it. Mm. But we also, because of our staffing levels have come up, that also helped a little bit, and we're still trying to work through some of that to continue that to improve for the community.
Let's talk a little bit about the equipment that the Anderson Fire Protection District now has. We have a new, well, new to us still, the ladder truck.
Yes. In 2015, Chief Weigel came in, did an audit of the budget, and had found out we had been donated some money from the Wind River Casino, and they had our impact fees from when a new building is built, new construction in our jurisdiction. It divides into three accounts: the building fund, the equipment fund, and a ladder truck fund that was set up back in 1970s, I believe. And there had been some money set aside for a ladder truck for several years. And when Chief Weigel came in, he said, it's time that Anderson's growing and we need to spend some of that money and buy a ladder truck. We're going to need it in the next few years with all the commercial that was potentially coming in. And he said with the grants that we'd received, we can't just sit on it. So we went ahead and purchased it. It was no hit to our actual budget because it all came from restricted funding that's earmarked specifically for that. And there's reoccurring money that goes in there every year that pays the payment on that. So in 2016, we received that ladder truck. It's a 75-foot Quint aerial. It can be a fire engine and it can be an aerial platform if need be. And it's been a great addition to our community down there. We also have a Type 1 fire engine that was purchased in 2006. It was green when we first got it, the lime yellow. Working with a local business and Cinerama, we were able to host a little benefit, and we raised some money and got that wrapped by Cinerama, and they actually did a 9/11 tribute to it. But again, it was purchased in 2006. We're a very busy department running a lot of calls, so it's seen its better days. It's showing its age, and we actually just signed a contract with Pierce to purchase a new Type 1 to replace it that'll serve the community for more than 15 to 20 years, hopefully, like our last engine.
And that engine is, the board determined it was time to purchase a new one. Because when a piece of equipment starts costing you annually to maintain it and keep it in service, what you could make a payment with, then it's time to start buying a new one.
Yeah, this engine, it's been a great engine. Like I said, it runs a lot of calls. It's got 110,000 miles on it, and that's a lot for a 7-mile jurisdiction. But we run almost 3,000 calls a year, so it sees its work. So we've moved forward with purchasing a new one to replace that. We'll keep it as a reserve for as long as we can, but. Like you said, we are spending quite a bit of money to, we do spend a lot of money normally just on the maintenance to make sure that things don't break. But when bigger things start breaking consistently, we got to look at moving forward and purchasing something else. We also have two Type 3 engines or Type 2 engines. They can go out on strike teams as a Type 3 or a Type 2. So we have one deployed right now and one's in the shop. That one's a 2001. It was purchased actually during 9/11. When the chief at the time, Chief Matheson, went back with one of the board members to pick it up, 9/11 had occurred, and they actually put a 9/11 remembrance sticker on there. So that's kind of one of the
cool. It was Norma Compton that went back.
It was.
Him. Yeah.
And so that's a pretty cool engine, but it's like I said, it's a 2001, and that was our primary response vehicle for multiple years. So it's seen better days, but it still runs good. We've just got some minor issues that we're dealing with it right now, and hopefully this week it'll be back in service. But, yeah, it's a tough thing trying to keep up on your fleet because there's so much maintenance and people don't realize that it's not just, put a little plug in it and move on. It's we're mandated by the law that we have to do certain things. Our tires can't be on there for more than 5 years. And so we replace things a lot more often than most, but we're held to a different standard.
And so this is just regular maintenance. What we're trying to do this morning is I think that, part of what the service that KCNR offers, I think, to the community is education and let people know what's happening in their community, the people that make a difference and in the South County, certainly Sienna Fire Protection District, is a part of your life. And a lot of people, when I talk to them, they don't really understand the difference between, where their services come from. Certainly I know that when people live in the unincorporated area or in one of the cities, they have a lack of understanding about the amount of county services that they actually get, even though they live within a city. One of the things I've always felt it was important is for people that live in a community to know about their community and how it works. And when I do these shows, especially when Carl isn't here, I try to do a little education about things that maybe we don't talk about often. So I appreciate the fact that my officials down in the South County are willing to come in and spend a little time with me and update people. So if you have any questions about anything you'd like to know about fire or what's happening in the jurisdiction, give us a call at 605-4567. One of the other things that I like about the ladder truck is if you notice, I'm a big flag waver and I like to see, the fire department and the police department involved in civic activities. So one of the things we try to do is whenever there's a function, of going on in the community that's an opening of like the new skate park
or the splash pad
down at the Anderson River Park or something going on, we like to bring the ladder truck out and fly the American flag off the top of it and it looks great. It's part of the community and is available if you've got something going on that it's important and big community wide activity. But it's good to see and we love having people come by the fire department, get a tour, see what's going on.
Absolutely. We're always open. If somebody wants to call the office and schedule a tour or just come in and meet with our staff just to see what we're all about, we're always welcome. People are always welcome to do that. We want to share our story. So with that, you'll see on our social media here in the near future, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We will be pushing out some more stuff about our agency. We want people to know that we're here. We're not just a little department down in South County. We're actually a professional organization. We're all paid staff, and we want people to know that we're here to do the best job we can, and we might need a little community support here in the near future, but we are here, we're not going anywhere, and we're ready to serve.
And I did notice when I was doing a little bit kind of leafing through last night thinking about what we were going to talk about this morning, I noticed that a couple of references and some stuff that's on the internet said mostly volunteer, and that's just not true anymore. The time when local fire departments were made up of mostly volunteers is quickly becoming to an end. Volunteers now are held to such a standard of training and expertise and criteria that all of the departments, even your county departments, are having a hard time getting volunteers, And we don't operate a volunteer system anymore.
Nationwide, there's a volunteer shortage, not only just in the fire service, but in community service clubs. I'm a member of Kiwanis and have been for several years. And volunteerism is just not something that's taught, or it's not a part of people's lives anymore. So not only is the fire service feeling the crunch from that, because the fire service was founded on volunteerism.
Exactly.
And, you know, you go back east and there's still some of those deep-rooted volunteer departments that it's a family tradition to be on the local volunteer fire department, and we don't have that anymore. We're not the only agency that went through that change back in 2014 to switch with, like you said, the training requirements are just so massive that if you're going to spend that much time to do that, most people just make it a career and go get paid very well to live to those standards. So the volunteerism is not only felt locally, but, I mean, countywide. All the volunteer agencies in Shasta County are always looking for more volunteers. And they do get some, but the training requirements, there's a lot of hours involved.
Exactly. So this portion of the show has been brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. Spring on over for savings at the Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy a 5-car wash coupon and get one free, or buy 10 and get 3 free at Quick and Clean. Business locally owned, been there on that corner in that area for 100 years. Great story behind that. We'll be right back after these messages.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Reading buys diamonds.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Join the Colt 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series every Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. at Tiger Field. Through the end of August, enjoy live music with a different band each week. Find the lineup of performers online at readingcolt45s.com. Tickets are only $5. Come enjoy food, beverages, and dancing at the Colt 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series at Tiger Field at 1000 West Cypress Avenue. See you there!
Californians can make history this summer, first by recalling Gavin Newsom, and on the same ballot electing a conservative leader with a proven record, Ted Gaines.
Hi, this is Ted Gaines. As a state lawmaker, I fought the tax and spend liberals at the Capitol. As an independent business owner, I fight big insurance companies on behalf of small businesses. On California's Tax Board, I fight to uphold Prop 13 and protect homeowners and taxpayers. I'm running for governor because we can rescue our state from Newsom's failed agenda. As your governor, I'll slash the gas tax and keep cost of living in check. I'll stop liberal plans to defund the police, and I will veto any bill that raises taxes, period. You deserve a governor who can transform California into a safe and affordable place to raise a family. I'm Ted Gaines. That's my pledge to you. Please vote yes on the recall and vote Ted Gaines for governor.
Visit TedGaines.com. Paid for by Gaines for Governor 2021.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you'd like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays,
including your birthday,
paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental, and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's Thursday morning. And this is Trish Clark, and I welcome you here. I'm glad you joined us for this show. Carl and Linda are out today. It's currently heating up in Redding. It's now up to 70 degrees. We're looking for a high today of 95, so it's about 67 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. Joined in the studio this first hour with Steve Lowe from the Anderson Fire Protection District, and we've been talking about all kinds of things that have to do with fire in the North State and specifically in the South County. We just had a question from the chat room.
Yeah, thank you for the question in the chat room was, have we applied for any grants through the McConnell Foundation? And yes, we have. We have received several local grants. Those are smaller grants. I think the McConnell Foundation only grants up to $50,000, and we've received grants for hose and nozzles and some medical equipment because we just required all of our employees to become optionally scope trained in the EMT realm, so they are providing a higher level of care in South County. With that, McConnell Foundation, like I said, they have parameters on some of their grants, and sometimes if you're not a 501c3, which we're not because we're a government entity, we can't apply for some of those grants, but we do apply for some of them. We do get a lot of grants here locally, but, $50,000, would go help buy equipment, but, these water tenders are up to $200,000, $300,000, so it's a lot more money.
And, you know, the history of the McConnell Foundation, just, there was a time, back in the 90s and the 80s, where the McConnell Foundation, in fact, did fund local fire. A lot of our fire departments had water tenders and trucks and all kinds of things that were funded by the McConnell Foundation. At a period in the late 90s, I'm forgetting when, but in the last 15, 20 years, McConnell kind of went in a different way and is doing their funding a little bit differently and basically doesn't fund a lot of things that are government, things that government should provide or the people should provide, and they've gone into kind of another direction more than they. But they used to historically fund a lot of fire equipment.
The Shasta
County
Regional Community Fund's been very gracious to us over the last few
years.
They've given us several grants to purchase equipment, smaller equipment. So it's been wonderful. It helps out. It all helps.
Every little bit helps, and certainly the community support on different things helps as well.
So one other thing that we've been getting asked a lot is there was a news story a while back about a new South County fire station, and that is actually Shasta County Fire that is building that and is not Anderson. We've had several people say, hey, that's great, you're getting a new fire station. I sure wish we were, but that is not ours. That is Shasta County Fire that is building that. They were donated some land from Sierra Pacific, so that's where that's coming from, and it's not with Anderson Fire Protection District.
And there will be, and actually, because it's interesting that even though it is Shasta County Fire, the location of the station is actually, interestingly enough, within the Anderson Fire Protection District. So there needs to be some discussions and some talks before that's finalized and actually becomes a working station as to how that's going to work with a fire station in our district that doesn't belong to us. So enough said on that, but that needs to have a discussion about that. And how that revenue is going to be shared and those different things. So right now, we're in the midst of high fire danger, red flag warnings. It's not a good thing. It's dry, no rain in sight. Fire danger is insurmountable at this point. People are still doing some really stupid things.
So this is the time of year that we start seeing these dry cold fronts come through, and we are followed by a north wind event. We saw one last week. Fortunately, we had no major fires in the county. We had extra staff on hand last week, and we're going to try to do the same this week.
Had some PG&E outages in the South County all over the place. Had a PSPS safety thing set up at the Frontier Senior Center. Fire activity is huge. It's a real threat. You need to not worry about it constantly, but you need to keep it in the back of your mind.
And starting tomorrow, the National Weather Service has issued a fire weather watch, what I would anticipate would change to a red flag warning here in the next coming hours. Usually it's 24 hours ahead of time. So pay attention to that. We'll be posting stuff on our social media when that time comes. But tomorrow they're looking at red flag warning for gusty north winds and low humidities, starting about 8 a.m. tomorrow, lasting through Saturday morning. So be cognizant of that, and I say that because even though we put stuff out on social media, we do news stories and press releases and everything, but we still see the same thing all the time. We just had a fire a couple nights ago where somebody was barbecuing, and when they were done, they dumped their barbecue, hot barbecue ashes in a cardboard box in their backyard against some blackberry bushes and a fence, and it actually caught their yard on fire, got into their neighbor's yard, and actually caught the neighbor's porch on fire. Fortunately, we had it extinguished very quickly, so minimal damage had occurred, but that person was issued a citation for that. We just had an apartment fire a couple days ago because of careless discarding of smoking material in a bedroom. So people need to pay attention. You know, we stress and stress and stress, but people still are doing those things. And just this morning, we saw a vehicle dragging something that was sparking, and they were stopped and told to fix it. So it's still happening. We just ask people to take the extra time. If you're smoking, smoke outside, put it in a metal container, put water in it. Don't do it in the house. Don't put it in something flammable. If you're going to discard your ashes, put it in a metal bucket. Don't put it on anything flammable. Put water in it, and don't discard them over the hillside or anywhere there's flammable vegetation. And just please, please, please don't flick your cigarettes out the window. We see that all the time, and that's one of my pet peeves. Anytime that happens, they're sure to get a citation. But don't discard your cigarettes. I mean, we see it all the time by the Walmart area, people walking through, and they throw their cigarette in the planter box, and a few minutes later, we end up going over there for a small fire in the planter box. So we just stress to the public, please, please pay attention to what you're doing. Take that extra minute if you're towing a trailer to ensure everything's put away properly and you're not dragging anything behind and that the chains aren't loose and all that. So please.
And if you're cutting grass, you don't want to do it. You don't want to be dry cutting.
One of the questions we get constantly is, I live where I have irrigation and it's green grass, can I mow? When we're saying don't mow after 10 o'clock, we're talking about the dry fields, the fields that don't have water on them. We're not talking your residential lawns and all that. We're talking about an actual field. We don't want you using a lawnmower on those. Lawnmowers aren't designed to cut those types of things because they have the heat and all that. You're supposed to use a flail mower or mm-hmm. one of those. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the dry fields. We're not talking about your residential lawns or irrigated pastures or anything like that. So we get that question quite a bit.
And when you're parking, you go someplace and you're pulling off the road, remember the catalytic converters are in your cars. You don't park in dry grass, weeds, because that the bottom of your car is like really hot. And people don't realize
Absolutely.
They pull off the side of the road, they go out to a ranch, a farm, whatever, they're going to a function, pull off into an area with dry grass. Don't be doing that.
One of the other common causes that we see on these roadside vegetation fires are from hot exhaust parts coming loose in the vehicle from a lack of maintenance. So if your vehicle is not running right, don't drive it. Get it looked at, please. We need all the help we can get. Our resources are stretched very thin right now, and we don't need any more catastrophic fires in Shasta County. We need to get through this fire season and get some breathing room.
Yeah. So, well, thank you, Steve, for coming in. I hope maybe we've enlightened some people about fire service in the North State and things, specifically about the Anderson Fire Protection District and the services they provide in the South County, not only to the residents of the city of Anderson, but the surrounding areas out McGee's Corner and Balls Ferry area and all of those areas is all within the Anderson Fire Protection District. And we love serving the community. And if you've got questions or anything you'd like to know, be sure you can give us a call down there. Stop by and look at the equipment and bring your kids by. Teach them about fire safety. That's one of the things we didn't get into that I wanted to, but the arson, and there is, if you've got a child that's really, really interested in fire and those things, it best to nip that in the bud. And there is a program that we have that addresses that.
We have a countywide youth fire center and intervention program that we would be happy to put them in contact with the closest representative to get somebody some education.
All right, and we'll be back after these messages with the second hour of Free Fire Radio.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Warnings of a possible terrorist attack outside Afghanistan's Kabul airport tragically turned out to be spot on. There has been at least one powerful explosion, possibly two. Apparently the work of suicide bombers and several U.S. Marines said to be among the injured. The BBC's Sanaa Safi has family in Kabul. She's been in touch with them, and they tell her...
We can see the smoke. We can see people being carried out from the scene. They're being transported in carts.
The attack came in the midst of thousands of Afghans desperate to flee the Taliban.
We understand the explosion happened at... the Abbey Gate, Eastern Gate is very close by. That's where most people who were asked to gather for the U.S., those who were given U.S. gate passes.
And correspondent Ben Thomas on what we have so far from U.S. officials.
The Pentagon has confirmed that there was an explosion outside Kabul airport. Spokesman John Kirby says there's been no immediate word on casualties. Thousands of Afghans have been gathered at the airport for days trying to flee the country since the Taliban takeover earlier this month. Western nations had warned of a possible attack earlier in the day, and several countries urged people to avoid the airport.
The White House says President Biden, who is now in the Oval Office, has been briefed on the situation. There's been no word yet on which terrorist group might be responsible for the attack. Reuters reporting that American casualty figures are expected to rise. Also, no information yet on whether President Biden will speak to the nation about this. Right now, all information from the U.S. has been coming out of the Pentagon, although the Russian Foreign Ministry now says the attack has killed at least two people, 15 others wounded. News and analysis, townhall.com.
Right now, people are home with their pets more often, and I think especially with the shedding, they're more cognizant of what's going on and that it's an actual issue.
Olive got some skin issues. He gets really going and scratching.
Excessive shedding, a lot of just scratching and itching.
Digging, scratching and itching and biting. On top of that, he was starting to get black buildup in his ears.
DINOVITE.com.
I just heard the Dynavite commercial so many times that I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. And I ordered it and tried it, and it worked.
We started Dynavite, and in our first box, we noticed a difference, especially with the shedding.
Within 3 weeks, he's not scratching and itching, and he's an all-around happier dog.
We've got four dogs, all different ages, all different sizes, and they've all just responded really well to the Dynavite, and they all love it.
We will be using Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
We order our Dynavite from Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
New Zealand's Prime Minister says she's sticking by her strategy to wipe out COVID-19 despite a widening outbreak and growing frustration over a strict national lockdown.
COVID zero will continue to be New Zealand's strategy until most of the population is vaccinated. Jacinda Ardern said the Delta variant could still be eliminated in the community, even as infections rise. This week, the New Zealand Herald newspaper asked if the Prime Minister was chasing rainbows, trying to crush the virus. Her government has been criticised over its vaccination programme. Only about 20% of the population is fully inoculated.
The BBC's Phil Mercer, a Lebanese judge leading the investigation of last year's explosion at Beirut's port, issuing a subpoena for the country's prime minister after he failed to show up for questioning.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. New York's new governor acknowledging the state has had significantly more deaths from COVID-19 than former Governor Andrew Cuomo acknowledged publicly.
Governor Kathy Hochul's office says nearly 55,400 people have died of the coronavirus in New York. That's based on death certificate data submitted to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And the figure is 12,000 more than then-Governor Andrew Cuomo reported Monday, his last day in office. Federal health officials and academic institutions tracking COVID-19 deaths have been using the higher tally for months because of known gaps in the data Cuomo had been choosing to publicize. Hochul tells National Public Radio, good or bad, the public deserves a clear, honest picture of what's happening, adding, that's how we restore confidence. I'm Ben Thomas.
Recapping our top story, the explosion outside the Kabul airport, the Pentagon saying there's an unknown number of casualties. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Not Carl and Linda. It's Thursday morning. This is Trish Clark, and I welcome you. Carl and Linda are on assignment, so I've got the duty today by myself, but I had a guest the first hour, Chief Steve Lowe. We educated all of you about South County Fire. Looking forward to my guest this hour, I have Danny Orloff, the new Tourism Marketing Director of Visit Reading, in the studio with me. Welcome, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited.
All right, and at this point, it's 68 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 95, a low of 68. It's hazy and smoky. On Friday, a high of 100. Friday night, mostly clear, a low of 70. On Saturday, hot, 104, a low of 69. Sunday, hot again, and they're emphasizing hot. It's only 102, but it's so dry and so tender that they say it's going to be like in your face 120. I hope that's not true. And on Sunday night, a low of 68. Monday again, hot and 98. Fire danger still there. Fire weather watch. Widespread haze, patchy smoke. It's going to go all the way through next week again. Not much relief in sight. So just please be aware and be very, very careful. Stay out of stay inside as much as you can, specifically if you have a lung condition of any kind or elderly, what have you. The weather is always brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So, Danny, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so this is my first opportunity to meet. I've been reading about the new direction that regional tourism is taking in Shasta County, and you'll find that Reading, I think, is certainly the hub of it, but I'm a firm believer that only half the population lives in the city of Reading, and what happens in Reading and tourism and all those things affects everybody in Shasta County, so that's countywide. So I'm a big countywide person.
Me as well.
Yeah, there you go. So tell us about Danny.
So I grew up in Mirica, California, so just right around the corner. To find any competition, you had to come down to Reading. So I was huge into basketball, playing in high school and then a little bit in college. But I would always find myself in this area to get a good game going. So grew up in Mirica and then I would always head down here.
Okay, and so you come to this job from that area?
So actually, I was living in Portland/Beaverton area, working for Nike previously, as a consumer experience manager. So working in the headquarters space, at the Nike company store. It was a huge store and it was really fun and dealing with consumer experience, helping people with the apps, marketing internally, and then helping, product knowledge and personal relationship skills. It was a really, really fun job, but wanted to get back to Northern California, and that's where my family's at. So once the opportunity came along, I had to go for it.
So you saw this job advertisement, Nike, public relations, tourism, Northern California. How did you...
how did I put them together?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. Once I looked at the job application or the job posting, it marked every single bucket that I wanted to pursue in life as a career, with the creativity, but also the balance of business and bringing communities together and larger the community as well, and bringing revenue to the city. It was just a win in all areas. I got my degree from Chico State for marketing.
Okay.
So always been in the Northern California area, and just obsessed with marketing and how it can impact the people who it goes to.
Well, and I would think that marketing the area would be, there's so much to market.
Exactly. And the Shasta Cascade and Wonderland Association, they did a great job, and I'm excited to build on what they've helped out in our partnership with them so far. And I have a strong passion for content creation, and I know that this area has a lot of content creators around, so I'm excited to work with them and really help showcase Redding, what it has to offer from the outdoors, the downtown, and the arts culture as well. It's starting to build more, and people are really passionate about the content, so I'm excited to work with them and showcase what we have to offer.
So in the past, and I'm drawing on my background a little bit, the Shasta Cascade Wonderland, and I'm not sure how it has been funded in the last few years, but historically was funded by all different agencies, and it was the whole North State, City of Anderson, City of Shasta Lake, Shasta County, City of Redding. I think some of the Siskiyou County had some part in that Shasta Cascade Wonderland,
yeah,
whole thing. How does that compare with what's happening today?
So now I'm currently working for the Chamber of Commerce, and they took on the tourism contract with the city July 1st. So the transfer of the contract just happened recently, and that's where the job kind of came up to be. Started on July 19th from it, so it was kind of a passing of the baton for Visit Redding and the tourism piece.
Okay, so this is more localized to the city of Redding,
yep.
but by the very nature of it, it's – when you're talking about coming to Redding, you got to be talking about Shasta Lake.
Exactly.
You got to be talking about Lassen Park. You got to be talking about
Whiskey Town.
That's all part of why you want to come visit Redding.
Exactly. The word that keeps coming through is the base camp. We're the base camp for outdoor adventure. Another one is the gateway for outdoor adventure. We're really the hub, and you can go anywhere from. And I see Redding as kind of like that heart that beats out to the whole county. And being able to stay here, but play all around here. So,
exactly. So, David, what do you do? You go to work in the morning. What do you do?
Right now, so we're working heavily with DCI, so Development Counselors International. They're located in New York. They're an agency, so they're helping us with the website infrastructure, as well as a little bit of logo design and coming up with a little more of a brand concept. So they help us with the surveying. So I'm in contact with them, making sure that they're experts in marketing places. So they're Visit California. They were doing Explore Canada. So really helping us put Redding on the map. So I'm here to make sure that we stay true to Redding and our values and our culture in Redding. So I'm dealing with them on a daily basis, making sure that the brand messaging is correct and right for the city. But also I'm working with the community as well. So I'm starting to work with different business owners and content creators in the area, and that's really, really fun and exciting. So it's kind of like a hybrid of both. We're still building out the website right now, so working on getting content to the website, and then just a little bit more of a rebrand. We're going to do a new logo coming up shortly. I believe we're going to actually release it at State of the City, so that's exciting, coming right around the corner.
Okay. I read someplace or some of the research I was doing about you that there was going to be a group that was going to come together to identify things.
Yes, so we do have a group. It's our board of directors or our steering committee, and it is a very diverse community from hotels, outdoor adventure, Redding Rancheria, Enjoy Magazine, the Fly Shop, Redding Trail Alliance. We have a lot of people involved in the board, so really excited to help them be that steering committee. And we meet monthly. They've been along with me the entire process, from the briefs that we're getting, from the brand messaging to the logo designs and making sure that it stays true. So it's really cool that I have that team with me as well. So it's 10 different individuals.
So I think that's important, because while certainly the dynamic is changing and growing, there's certainly, you want to keep the core of the why and what Redding and Shasta County is all about.
Definitely, 100%.
Without losing that that flavor of who we are.
Exactly. And that's why I want to make sure that my ear's to the ground and knowing that the residents are heard. We just did a resident survey with over 1,000 different surveys coming in and asking them their thoughts on tourism and how they believe tourism can show up in the community. So that was really cool. A lot of good findings in the survey and seeing what people want Reading to be known for.
Well, like I said, there's so many elements when I think about why you would, I mean, just not only just walking around the streets of Reading and all the things that is happening downtown and over at the where the Civic Center is and the bridge and all of that, but certainly all the other things that get people off the freeway and then as a springboard, as you say, to Whiskey Town or Shasta Lake or those things. So,
exactly.
A lot of stuff to talk about, and this portion of the show has been brought to us by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof, helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Judy Maxwell has a unique way with business and is such a friendly person to deal with and very knowledgeable about business and finance and all your insurance needs. Very helpful in this time of diminishing fire insurance and the impacts that these terrible fires have had on us. Give Judy a call at 221-0441. She's located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. Judy Maxwell, Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back after these messages.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me, that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
You want to make a real difference for patients. You want to provide quality, compassionate care. Your work environment should feel like family. You appreciate flexibility.
One of the things I love about working at Shasta Regional is I feel valued as a staff member. They're like family.
If you're ready to work in an environment that supports you, come see the difference at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Join SRMC for an open house and job fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. $15,000 sign-on bonuses are offered for all RNs hired. Meet their directors, talk to current staff, see and feel the difference in an environment that supports you so you can care for our community at the SRMC Job Fair Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.shastaregional.com or message them on Facebook. Come experience Shasta Regional Medical Center, where passionate people provide quality care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Job Fair, Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
I'm Jake Mangus, President and CEO of the Reading Chamber of Commerce. When Gavin Newsom tried to shut our county down, our local supervisors stood shoulder to shoulder with our local businesses. Not a single citation was handed out to a Shasta County business by our local government. Our business community proudly stands with our elected supervisors, Mary Rickert, Leonard Modi, and Joe Cominti. Decline to sign and reject Recall Shasta.
This ad paid for by Shasta Forward. Reject the recall of Supervisors Rickard, Cominti, and Modi.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed.
the new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilton Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
Hey, that's a good way to start the day. KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call. If you've got a question about tourism, I'd like to talk to Danny about that, give us a call at 605-4567. Love to have a chat with you as well. And I'm visiting with Danny Orloff, who is the new tourism marketing director of Visit Redding, the new contract that was given to the Redding Chamber of Commerce to take over the work that Shasta Cascade Wonderland had been doing. And so kind of a new direction and a different thing, some new technology coming into the thing. And so we've got something coming up on September 1st that has to do with this.
Yes, talk about that. So we want to really be tapped into the local community of content creators. So next week on Wednesday the 1st, we're going to be meeting at Westside Wine and Hops. And having a chat and seeing exactly how people want to be involved, whether they do videography, photo, or do copyright or anything of that nature, any sort of content creators that want to help out and help shape Reading, and really put on for your city. You can come down and we can meet and we can chat. So it's from 4:30 to 6:30 September 1st at Westside Wine and Hops.
Okay. And so this is open to anybody that's out there listening right now. You got an idea about marketing, technology, something.
Exactly. If you want to help put any content out there, let us know, and we'll be talking with you and seeing exactly if it fits for that brand messaging and want to make sure that it stays right for the city and want to help everybody showcase their work.
Oh, how interesting. So Westside Wine and Hops, where is that located?
So that one is right there on Pine Street. It is right next to the Chamber of Commerce. It is in the heart of downtown. I'm trying to think of other landmarks. Right around the corner from Brew Coffee.
Okay, good. So, there's, all kinds of, there's all kinds of people who do interesting things. One of the things we learn from this Free Fire Radio talk show that we do, is that there's all kinds of things going on in this community we're unaware of. So a lot of little entrepreneurs out there that are writing books or doing this or some kind of fun little stuff. If you've got something that you can offer that might help market the city of Redding and Shasta County, this is your opportunity to get involved and be a part of the change that's coming.
Exactly. It's been very refreshing coming into this new role and seeing how involved everybody is in the community. And I personally didn't know that Redding has the largest business capita per area. So we know that everyone is entrepreneurs and has that go-getter mentality that don't quit. So I'm really excited to meet with everybody, especially on that content creation side and just that entrepreneur spirit.
Well, and certainly there's a lot of people now that, after this last year and a half, that's been a real trial on small business and essential business and who's essential and who isn't. And,
exactly.
and just, it's been a real, so now there's a whole lot of people trying to come back in different ways and reestablish a footing in the community and a lot of that entrepreneurial spirit that's always been there. So this is an opportunity to move forward.
Exactly. And it's fun. I mean, tourism is fun. I think we're all kind of tourists in some sort of capacity. So, it's cool to market Reading and how people would see Reading and highlight Reading. So,
well, and one of the things that we like to encourage with people is, we all get busy with our lives and our work and what have you, but to have a real rounded life, you need to do something just besides your job and go home.
Yeah.
You need to be involved in your community and you need to take time out to just live.
Exactly. And I think Reading itself is a lifestyle, right? It's working hard and playing hard as well. And we have the things to do to go play after work. So
what are the things that come to your mind that you automatically are highlighting about this area?
So the hiking, the mountain biking, kayaking, and, of course, the fishing as well. So a majority of it is the outdoor adventures, whether it's houseboating or jet skiing or anything on the water. But just the outdoor adventures is one portion. The evolving downtown, so the development of downtown with the new bike trail, and the advancements of the bike trail, and then also the arts and cultural community, whether it's in Old City Hall or if it's in the IOF Hall. There's multiple areas that art is here, and there's a lot of great...
Talk a little bit about that, because yeah. One of the things that you hear is that, wow, it's not the city. It doesn't... We don't have the culture. We don't have the arts and things. And when you start looking, we have several places that have wonderful art displays.
Exactly, yes.
With some wonderful artists in the community. And if you take a look and start looking around, there's an art exhibit, maybe at Old City Hall, or maybe... Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So being one of the 14 cultural districts in California is just amazing to be a part of, and you'll start to see that. So, yeah, as you mentioned, the Old City Hall with the art gallery they have there, and the IOF Hall, they Art Hunger, they're doing a great job highlighting different artists, and I believe it's, don't quote me, I believe it's over 60 different artists are in that that building of different exhibits, and I know they're constantly changing, and Reading Beer Week is coming up, so shout out to the Art Hunger and Reading Beer Week. They're going to have a 90s party in the IOF Hall. We're really rich in history as well, and I think it goes beyond just painting or other types of arts. Just the Native American community and Reading Rancheria and the casinos, and there's just so much history in the city itself with the conveyor belt and so many cool things that that people are seeing, and Shasta Historical Society, they do a great job of highlighting it as well. But
one of the things I invite you to, you know, we tend to come in and out of places. You go in someplace for dinner and that's all you do. But a lot of our local restaurants and a lot of different areas, if you pay attention to what's hanging on the walls, a lot of times there's art displayed in different places, like over at Turtle Bay,
yeah,
that don't have anything to do that's available for purchase.
Yeah.
And they might be in a restaurant downtown or different places. So kind of take the time to look around when you go places or you're walking down the street. There's all kinds of things that we walk by and don't even notice.
I couldn't agree with you more. And feel free to tag Visit Reading, and we can reshare your post if you guys are taking those photos of those art. It's really cool to see the art, especially when it's being showcased and thinking about it from how did it be conceptualized and then how did it actually come to life and build a brand for that business or that area or that wall or that street.
I like to support the local artist community because there are some great things. You might go into an antique store or what have you, and there might be a wall where there's some local artists that are displaying, or at the top of one of the buildings.
Yeah.
It's all kinds of stuff out there if you're paying attention and looking.
Exactly.
That you can discover. So I invite people to play tourist in your own town.
Yeah.
When you visit someplace else, you're looking for those kind of things, but we tend to live in our own communities without seeing them.
Exactly.
And so open your eyes and act like you're a tourist for the night as you do something, and you'll see all kinds of interesting things that you probably don't. If you'd like to join this conversation, you can give us a call at 605-4567. Maybe you have something you'd like to point out to the rest of the community that you know that's out there that maybe somebody else hasn't appreciated or come across and done. So I just think it's interesting that because certainly the downtown area, and we'll maybe talk about that in after this. We've got a break coming up here shortly, but so much is happening downtown.
Yes.
So many different things with the expansion of the parking and the opening of streets and closing of streets and opening and all the new things we go yes. through as we mature as a city. Anything about the art that we can finish out the round?
Yes, definitely. If you haven't checked out by the IOF Hall in that alleyway, there's actually 7 different murals painted by local artists. So it shows their name on the very bottom right corner where you can view their stuff on Instagram or whatever social platforms that they use. But they're all local artists that they put the murals up where the windows used to be. And who knows if it would maybe windows later on. But right now there is 7 different murals on the IOF Hall from local artists. And it's cool to see the diversity in each painting. So
down on the corner of, I'm going to say, Trinity and Market, there's an old hotel. Trinity and Market across from, and they have done a mural on the back of the building.
Yes. The Traveling Lodge is out there?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
And that's a new
thing. That's a cool, yes.
It's cool. And I'm still trying in my mind to figure out, I wish they'd do the wall on Trinity Street, the whole wall, because they've done the alley wall.
Yes. And you kind of have to kind of go back and see it.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and then the one little parking right across from Claw's Salon, actually, the Claw's Spa and Nail Salon there. But kind of interesting. The art just pops up
exactly.
Throughout the community.
And right there, right around the corner at the Americana.
Yeah, exactly. So this portion of the show has been brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. Give them a call at 999-1822. Certainly, if you want to have a firearm, you're right to do that. You need to be trained, and this is a good place to go. Northern Firearms. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's a storm across the valley, clouds are rolling in. The afternoon is heavy on your shoulders.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
Let us brighten up your summer. Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to play our Sunny Money Staycation Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Weekly drawings Thursdays at 6, 7, and 8 p.m. Plus, winners receive bonus entries into the final drawings. August 26th, a houseboat vacation from Bridge Bay at Shasta Lake. Plus, $500 cash and a $1,000 gift card from Costco. September 30th, another $10,000 up for grabs at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, more fun. Wind River.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM. It's Thursday morning, if you're just tuning in. It's just Trish Clark this morning. Carl and Linda are on assignment, and I've just been hanging out here this morning with Steve Lowe, the fire chief from Anderson, for the first hour. And now I'm visiting with Danny Orloff from Visit Reading, the new tourism director, and we've been talking about all kinds of things. About how the new marketing for the tourism in Reading and the North State is going. If you have a question, you'd like to give us a call at 605-4567. Please feel free to jump into this conversation. We talked a little bit about art the last time. Let's talk about downtown and all the different things that are changing with the construction. They've opened up Market Street again. After they closed it and built over it and then tore it down and now we're back to through traffic again, almost yes. Through Market Street, down to the one end. So what's going on down there? All the
definitely, stuff? Definitely. So I know right now they have, talking about art, they have the art show going on with Art and Hunger and the IOF Hall. But overall downtown, it's really cool to see, especially what they did with those pavers and showing, like, truly make an investment in the downtown. I'm excited to see what comes of there in the future. I'm really hoping for farmers markets and trying to meet the right people to make that happen and maybe some car shows and other things going on. But what you see right now, of course, with the Block 7 project going on, just right on the other side in between Market and California Street, with the construction, really cool to see what they're doing there, but also with the parking. I know parking is sometimes an issue with the new parking garage. That'll help out to hopefully throw some more events downtown. And overall, I know K2 has been doing a good job on sourcing the right people for the space in the Market Square set, underneath, across from IOF Hall. So excited to see what comes in there into that new building. So,
and there's a lot of new shops and new businesses,
yes,
located in that area that is pedestrian friendly, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then I think the goal is to get people to walking around the downtown area,
yeah,
again. It's kind of part of the issues that we face here with is the weather.
Yeah.
Certainly, it's the outdoor seating. A good portion of the year is not it's either too hot or it's raining.
Yeah.
So a good portion of the year, it's not like the streets of Paris where that's
exactly.
Kind of, you can wander through and down the Champs-Élysées and do all of that. And,
yeah,
and there's every place to sit and chat and what have you. And it's pretty much open all year round.
Yeah.
But they don't have that extreme heat that we get here. So the good portion of the year where you just don't want to be sitting outside.
Yeah. And I know that they're trying to work on some shade, working on getting shade down there in some capacity. But what's kind of unique, too, is the buildings are tall, fairly tall. So how can we utilize the shade that they provide already? And it's really cool when you walk down, like, right next to From the Hearth and Cinders and Taste and See, and you see a lot of people in that alleyway, of course, because it's shaded. But also, like, with Vintage and Market Street, there's the outdoor seating there as well. And I know Market Street has the outside air conditioner. So it's unique that they have that. And it's slowly starting to build up more and more. So I'm excited to see how they can expand on the outdoor seating and turn it into, like you said, like a Paris or
Maybe like a Venice or...
And when you go, I mean, in the United States, when you go and you go down to, you go to Memphis, you go to Nashville and those different places where you have the Bourbon Street and the whole atmosphere and bands playing and different venues and people just kind of wandering around. And I can envision that for that area downtown Reading where you could just kind of walk around and mingle and have these street things.
Exactly.
I know just, you know, again, in the United States, in Idaho, Twin Falls, Idaho, the town that I came from and grew up in, they now have a downtown kind of thing like this where they have, I've forgotten what night of the week it is, but the whole street is open and they've got food trucks and that and bands and different venues going on. And that's kind of a friendly, you go down and talk with everybody and just kind of wander around and eat and listen to music and dance a little and what have you. I'd like to see something like that happening area.
I feel like you're starting to get a taste of it with the park right around the corner, and you could see at night there during like the weekend times that how much energy is there and the food trucks and the family fun, and it's there. I'm excited to see when it expands to downtown as well, and it's just a matter of time. I think if you guys haven't been downtown, you should go downtown and check it out. Look at those pavers and look at the potential that's going on down there. And they have different murals down there as well, just paying homage to parts of the city, whether it's a fishing mural or the pancake breakfast from the Asphalt Cowboys. There are different murals that really embody Reading down there, so it's really cool to see.
And while we're on that subject, earlier on we were talking about volunteerism, and I'll just throw out a pitch that, you know, there are all these things happening and what have you. One of the things that makes these events in a community are the different service groups that put them on. The Chamber of Commerce and the Rotaries and the Kiwanis and the Lions Club and the Asphalt Cowboys, certainly, or the Reading Rodeo Association and all that. This is all opportunities to be involved in your community and volunteer some time. This then opens you up to know and have a voice in what's happening in your community and how this new shape is taking place.
Yes.
So this is certainly an opportunity for you to become involved and shape what's happening with this new direction.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. Something else crossed my mind there. So the theater district. Prior to COVID and all these things, we had so much going on with the Cascade Theater, the new Riverfront Playhouse opening, all kinds of venues for opportunities for plays and groups coming in, certainly the Civic Auditorium and that contract. And then we had COVID and everything kind of went kaboom. So what's happening with the startup of all that?
Yeah, so we're partnering with different theaters right now and kind of figuring out how we can help showcase those events. And that's one of the things actually on our website that we really want to hone in on whenever it launches is the events calendar. We want it to be very communal-based, and you can put those events out there so the community can know they can go to visitreading.com and see those events and really witness that part of the culture and the community. So,
I mean, the Cascade Theater was,
yes.
I mean, we had venues. I mean, it was incredible. I know, but they come out with their calendar. I'd go in and buy tickets for the next 6 months for this and that and the other. And that all just came to a screeching halt with COVID to where none of, you know, and then of course the Riverfront Playhouse, we're all excited about the new opening and moving and finally after all these years and then.
It happened.
You know, it's a sudden end to everything. So, how are they? They're progressing and getting their calendars together and getting ready again to book events. And
yes, they definitely are. And that was actually part of our tour, was to go into those different venues and checking it out. And I learned some things that I personally didn't know with the Riverfront Playhouse, how it used to be the swimming pool and the light that stays on inside the Cascade, the theater. So it's excited to see when those events roll out and want to be that source for additional source for seeing when those events are. So.
Well, certainly, and trying to get together a community calendar, because certainly we draw from all around us for these events that happen in Reading or Anderson or the city of Shasta Lake or any of the events that are happening, and try to take those things into consideration so we don't book a huge event at the same time two places in the community that have to compete with
each
other. It's a little difficult because there's only so many weekends in the year. Some things can complement each other, to where you can go from one to another, and once you get the crowd, other things can be a real death knell if you've got a concert going in the Shasta District Fairgrounds and at the Civic Auditorium.
Yeah.
That can be a, you know, not so good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to communicate and keep in touch. And I'm hopeful that along with reaching out to these other organizations, that there's, say, some communication between the Reading Chamber of Commerce and the Anderson Chamber of Commerce and City of Shasta Lake and those kind of things that we can
definitely
work together to enhance the whole area.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more, especially like seeing the Mosquito Serenade or concerts in the park and all these events that you're talking about. I'm excited to get that going for Reading as well and figure out who we need to partner with to make those things happen, but also make sure that's not, as you mentioned, competing priorities.
So. Exactly. And you know, we like the Mosquito Serenade in Anderson has been there for a long, long time, since the 70s. And in fact, the gentleman who started the Mosquito Serenade, Harry Sipple, and his wife were just in town.
Oh, really?
For the last of the Mosquito Serenade. And I was part of the group at the Mosquito Serenade when we first started passing the hat down there. And Harry and Marge came up with that idea, local bands.
Yeah.
Many people around here will remember the Marcy Brothers. They were a local group that started there, ended up with a Warner contract as time went on. We used to have the Air Force Band. I mean, a lot of things that started at the Mosquito Serenade. So that's been going on since the 70s. We'd probably be terribly offended if Reading decided to do a concert series on Wednesday night.
Right. I couldn't agree.
I mean, that'd start a real war. Okay, we're approaching our last segment. This is Trish Clark this morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
Come join Recall Shasta for a great night, fundraising dinner, speakers, live auction, and raffle, August 28th at the Anderson VFW, 3210 West Center Street. For ticket information, call 530-691-1707. This is an opportunity for us to come together as a community and make our voices heard. Come join Recall Shasta for our third fundraising dinner, paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee /Shasta Recall.
You want to make a real difference for patients. You want to provide quality, compassionate care. Your work environment should feel like family. You appreciate flexibility.
One of the things I love about working at Shasta Regional is I feel valued as a staff member. They're like family.
If you're ready to work in an environment that supports you, come see the difference at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Join SRMC for an open house and job fair, Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. $15,000 sign-on bonuses are offered for all RNs hired. Meet their directors, talk to current staff, see and feel the difference in an environment that supports you, so you can care for our community at the SRMC Job Fair, Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, visit www.ShastaRegional.com or message them on Facebook. Come experience Shasta Regional Medical Center, where passionate people provide quality care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, Job Fair, Tuesday, August 31st, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
professionals from all over the world have been working remotely, and the hardest part is finding a great place to focus and get the job done. Drop-in Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East offers modern and clean workspaces, call booths, conference rooms, and secure fast Wi-Fi. Drop-in's pricing is pay-as-you-go, with bundles of hours as low as $3 an hour. No contracts, no obligations. Drop-in Go Working, 155 Lake Boulevard East, next door to Starbucks and Subway across from Waterworks Park. Drop in for an hour or more and try it out. Dropin.mobi. That's dropin.mobi.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Score. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Every diamond has a story to tell. Once a year, Goldmark Jewelers displays a collection of diamond rings, earrings, pendants, and bracelets with their own favorite stories. For 30 years, the Goldmark Jewelers annual estate sale has brought you the best collection of vintage and antique jewelry in Northern California. Each of these pieces have rich history and incredible stories. Diamonds and gemstones hand-cut by master craftsmen were set in masterpieces cherished for hundreds of years. Now it's your turn to write the next chapter in your diamond story. The Goldmark annual estate sale coming September 1st. Goldmark Jewelers, Hilltop Drive, where Redding buys diamonds.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Free fire radio for the North State, where we talk about all kinds of things that have to do with the local area. And today we're concentrating on the city of Redding and the tourism thing. This is Trish Clark, because it's Thursday, and I'm always here on Thursdays, and Carl and Linda are on assignment this morning. I've enjoyed visiting with you this morning, and we've got Danny Orloff in the studio, and we've been talking about all kinds of things that have to do with tourism. This portion of the show is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, located at 301 Hartnell Avenue. It's a premier retirement community surrounded by natural beauty, ample recreational opportunities, the beautifully designed community. It's located near Turtle Bay Exploration Park, Sundial Bridge, as well as close shopping in the Hilltop area. She's just tired of maintaining a house, want to have a destination, a place to live, meals, not have to worry about all those things when the air conditioner breaks. Go live in a full-time activities director. We'll give you a variety of programs. You can just go live and have somebody else take care of the problems. Give them a call at 238-5981 to see what River Commons can do for you. So, anyway, we've been visiting here. Got some final thoughts, just a little bit showtime left. We want to remind you again, if you'd like to be a part of this, you've got ideas that can shape the community and what have you. Got an opportunity coming up on September 1st.
Yeah, so Westside Wine and Hops will be there for the content creators meetup. So if you do video, photo, or copy, feel free to come on down, and we'll be hanging out there from 4:30 to 6:30 September 1st at Westside Wine and Hops. Get your ideas and see exactly how you can help out. It's just a fun age that we're in right now with content creation, whether it's all the social media things, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, whatever it may be that you're interested in and have a passion for, and that is your expertise, then feel free to come down there, meet with us, and understand everyone has lives and jobs and things. So if you can't come down, feel free to contact us via social media. Visit Redding on Facebook or Instagram, and then feel free if you want to call 530-225-4433. We are sharing the number with the Chamber of Commerce for Visit Redding as well for now. So yeah, feel free to call the Chamber of Commerce to talk all things Visit Redding, and then or you can email at info@visitredding. So
all different kinds of ways to contact and get involved, and if you have a group that would like to meet with you, have got some ideas, can they call you and set up a
We can call me, we'll set up a meeting and see exactly how you can help out and how you can contribute. So we want to make sure as well that it stays along with our brand vision. So we have some brand messaging and some brand guidelines, and we'll help navigate through those to make sure that it stays right for Redding. So
and you indicated that – so we've got the City of Redding
the marketing agency or the
State of the City.
Oh, yeah, State of the City. yes. State of the City, so September 24th. we're going to be presenting our logo for State of the City. So super excited to kind of showcase the brand and what we've been working on thus far.
So and that date again is?
September 24th.
So people need to mark that on your calendar and make arrangements to go. And I'm sure that with this new direction that there's going to be a lot of information available. And that's an event that if you're interested in your city, you need to make arrangements to be going and attending that and seeing what's going on with that. So we've got about 7 minutes left. I'm trying to think of things we haven't hit so far. Anything you can think of that you'd like to talk a little bit more about or get people interested in to help the direction you're going with this contract?
Yeah, definitely. So like I mentioned, we're meeting with those content creators, and if you are one of them, feel free to kind of contact us. I mean, it's been really exciting thus far to find out things that Reading is known for and what past and present visitors are saying. Just to give you guys a little teaser out there, I mean, some of the first things that it hit on was beautiful, family-friendly, relaxing, outdoors. They did say hot, so as in the temperature-wise. Nature and wilderness, it's unique and welcoming. It's not congested. So a lot of good things are being said about Reading overall. But also not surprisingly, the most things that people want to do whenever they visit is visit a local restaurant. Or they want to go on a scenic drive or hiking or be parts of that arts and culture. And if you guys haven't been downtown, you should definitely check out downtown. It's the arts and culture scene down here is evolving. You'll see some murals, whether it's on a hotel or whether it's on a building in downtown. It's really cool to see those art fixtures come to life. So,
and of course, you've always got the area over around Turtle Bay.
Yes.
We haven't talked too much
about
that. But, so a lot of people drive by, don't even know what's happening when you get off over there.
Yeah, so what's really cool about Turtle Bay right now, they have a few different exhibits where it's recycled trash that's came from the ocean, and they made them into different sea creatures. So throughout Turtle Bay, you'll notice whether it's a seahorse or I believe there's an otter as well, but I know there's a seahorse. So, but you can see these different pieces of trash turned into pieces of art, and they are really beautiful, so.
And of course it's been so hot that it's difficult to enjoy the bridge when it's really, really warm.
Yeah.
But certainly that's that whole area there and the gardens across the river trail that goes all the way around there and goes through that area.
And the diesel horse to downtown now with the river trail for biking has really helped out and been a little bit more safer for the bikers. It's kind of cool to see the biking and cycling community in Reading and seeing that's in a evolving piece of Reading with the Bike Depot coming downtown in spring of next year. I think that'll help out, be that kind of
Bike Depot.
Yeah, so Bike Depot, it's going to be right across from Napa and kind of on kitty corner from Shasta Living Streets. They're building the Bike Depot right there. So that
What is a Bike Depot?
So Bike Depot, so it's kind of, it seems like it's going to be a cafe / place where you can tune your bikes, make sure that you're ready. It's like that one-stop shop. If you are biking, I think they may even have showers there too. So you can kind of, I don't know, don't quote me on the showers piece.
Okay.
But overall, you can hang out, and it's just a little piece of the community right there. And I know it's going to be by the train station and hopefully some more advancements where people, if they were coming from Sacramento, they can bring their bike up, hit the river trail, maybe go out to Swayze and ride their mountain bikes. So it's going to be a cool integral part for the biking community.
So I learned something absolutely totally new. Okay, another thing that I've noticed just recently, because I mean I live in Anderson and I don't spend all that much time here walking around. The bikes that are just kind of parked on the street.
Yeah, so
tell us about
that. Yeah, so are you referring to those little scooters?
Yeah, the little scooter thing.
Yeah, so those scooters, they're sponsored by Bird. So you have to download the Bird app, but overall you can just download the app, you scan the QR code. It's connected. You connect it to your credit card. I think it's like $2 an hour, possibly. Don't quote me on that one as well. But I think it might range. But overall, you can rent those electric scooters and zip around downtown. And they're pretty fun. Like growing up where the Razor scooter was that main source of transportation outside of a skateboard, it's cool to see the electronics come into play. And they're pretty zippy, so.
I actually, when I came to the show last week, there was one parked in front of the studio here.
Yeah.
And I have to admit that was the first I said, so who brought their bike to work? You know, I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
How many of those are in the downtown area? Do you know?
Ooh,
or
I don't know. I would have to get back to you on that. But I know some other things are coming, like electric bikes, possibly doing electric bikes as well. So if you don't have a bike, you can borrow one of the electric bikes and kind of zip around on the river trail.
Yeah, I know. I've been in other communities where they have those. I just was unaware that that.
Yeah,
so
I
lots happening in
yes.
downtown Reading that we are unaware of. And so that's why we do these shows. I hope you've learned something new this morning about what's going on. At least hopefully we've piqued your interest about maybe taking more of an interest in finding out what's going on downtown. We'll be looking forward to the things that are going to come with this Visit Reading and the changes. And September 24th, you can find out more about it at the State of the City luncheon that's coming up, and there'll be more information coming out. But go online at Visit Reading. Find out more about all of this and find out about what's happening on in your community and feel free to get involved and volunteer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Danny,
for
coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And then one last thing, since you're mentioning the events, if you have an event and you feel like it could be good for tourists as well, feel free to submit that event on Visit Reading Event Submissions.
Good to know. Thank you for joining us this morning. See you next Thursday. Always fun to visit with the community. Have a great day.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.